Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with a Kia 7-year warranty.
Ciara Levy, Ciara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
In the world before BC, in the world before COVID, what do you think you'd be doing right now on this day?
So, unfortunately, tomorrow, the 9th of May, was supposed to be my wedding day. Yeah, so it's a bit of an emotional day today. I'm here actually in work. Myself and my husband-to-be, Gary, we're really, really looking forward to this day for a number of years. And while we completely understand the reasons that it can't go ahead tomorrow, and we're absolutely prioritising the guests or the health of our guests, mm-hmm. we're just very disappointed with the reaction from our insurance company.
Okay.
So unfortunately, we were under the illusion that we would get cover if the wedding was to be cancelled or rescheduled.
Mm-hmm.
But when we actually went to get an answer, it took a number of weeks to kind of get a response in the first place. And then when we actually got a response, the terms and conditions, you know, it was written down that you would be excluded if there was a government restriction, if there was a cancellation due to that directly or indirectly.
So you're saying the policy, your wedding insurance policy says that you're covered if the venue closes due to contagious, among other things.
Exactly.
Due to contagious infection or is closed by a relevant authority. However, you were not covered if the government orders the closure. Is that the...
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's on a pinhead, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. And even their website, Joe, like even at the moment, it says that they no longer cover claims relating to COVID-19. So, you know, it kind of implies in a way that, you know, you would have had cover prior to, you know, March. It became obvious that it was going to be a big problem. But we, you know, took out our policy a long time ago, mm-hmm. well before the pandemic. So we really, took it out in good faith and really, really hoped that we would get our cover, and unfortunately, it just seems like we won't.
And how much will you lose?
So at the moment, we have paid about $8,000 that we can't get back. It's non-refundable in deposits for suppliers in the venue.
And so weddinginsurance.ie, but they say they just sent us a line saying the policy is underwritten by a brokerage, Whitehorse Insurance, and the claims are handled by them. All decisions regarding settlement of claims are handled by the underwriter, Whitehorse Insurance. And so does that mean there's hope or no hope? But the wording sounds. But that's, and by the way, when you say you're a frontline, working. You are in a hospital.
I'm working as part of the infectious diseases team in a hospital in Dublin. It's been a tough few weeks, but you know, the kindness of the public has been absolutely overwhelming, Joe. You know, we've had such an amazing response, and you know, every day there's, you know, volunteers coming in, feeding us and sending us well wishes, and you know, the hospital has been absolutely fantastic, and all of my colleagues have been really supportive. So it's just such a contrast, you know, to have had such a blanket no then from the insurance company when it's already a difficult and sad situation for us, you know. We have our honeymoon booked and we've a number of other things booked, and just, you know, the emotion of the day, and then I suppose the financial fallout is just very, you know, stressful, and it's hard to find the time to be kind of emailing people.
Okay, say with us, Ciara, because now I see other people. Megan, good afternoon. What's your situation, Megan?
Afternoon, Joe. Similar situation to Ciara. We had our wedding booked for July in France, mm-hmm. and as the kind of, you know, as coronavirus has kind of evolved, we were getting more and more to the point where we were having to look at cancellation being an option, because mm-hmm. we also have the obstacle of travel, and we definitely don't want to put our guests or any people at risk into an unsafe area. So essentially, when President Macron had put out a recent update that there would be no large gatherings until at least September, we had, thankfully, at the back of our mind, or so we thought, had the comfort of having, you know, five-star wedding insurance with weddinginsurance.ie, which we thought, you know, would be covered because, like it has been mentioned, it says that we'd be covered for cancellation of infectious and contagious disease. So in our minds, we weren't too worried until we actually went to get in touch with them. And we had a number of phone calls. And initially, it was just point blank. We will only be covering anything COVID-related if the actual venue contracts the disease themselves. And then we went on to emails, and it was it's a similar situation. So they were unwilling to cover any cancellation and were pushing us more towards getting refunds from the venues and our other suppliers. But it got to kind of the point where we had been back and forth for quite some time, and the pressure of finding a new postponement date was getting higher. And, you know, we were risking, it's a bit different in France in terms of you book your venue and then you're all surrounding suppliers. So we had 9 suppliers in total with a loss potential of 17 grand by the time you added in everyone's deposits. So we were actually then trying to force a new postponement date with the venue, but to get a new date in 2021, we had to pay 50% extra for the venue cost for the privilege.
I'll come back to you in a second. I just want to go straight to government buildings where the Minister of Education is announcing changes to the Leaving Cert.
With all that is happening, some students have parents working on the front line. Others are anxious about family and loved ones, and some are grieving. My thanks to all the teachers, parents and guardians who have been doing their best to help this year's class prepare in these unprecedented circumstances. We always say that we want our students to be resilient, imaginative and adaptive to change. Since that is what we ask for them, it is only fair that they should be able to ask the same of us, and they have. COVID-19 has forced us to make changes to aspects of society which just weeks ago would have been unthinkable. I know that making changes to the Leaving Cert examinations is fraught with difficulty and risk, but these are exceptional times. As Minister for Education and Skills, I believe in the Leaving Cert. It does need to be modernised, but its great strength is that it is fair and it is seen to be so. Plan A was to hold the exams in June as normal. However, with the closure of the schools and the continuing dominance of the virus, that proved impossible. We always said that we would look at alternatives if the exams could not proceed. Recognising that there was no perfect solution, no outcome that would suit everyone, we looked at how to achieve the best possible outcome, putting the welfare and interests of students first. Over many weeks, we worked with the representative groups for students, parents, principals, teachers and school management bodies to develop a Plan B. This would have seen the exams start on the 29th of July and run through August. To facilitate this, I committed that students would have 2 weeks in school before the exams to give them an opportunity to readjust, revise and refocus. Unfortunately, there is now compelling advice that makes proceeding with a return to school and holding exams in July and August impossible. I have come to this conclusion with a heavy heart, but in the final analysis, the interest of the students must come first, especially their physical and mental health. The Leaving Cert is important, but it's life that matters. Throughout this time, we have also been working on a Plan C as a contingency, and it is this that I brought to Cabinet this morning for approval. This will see the Leaving Cert postponed to a later date when it will be safe to hold the exams. In the meantime, students can opt to receive calculated grades. Despite the views of some, there is no simple solution to this issue. These calculated grades will not be examinations as defined by legislation, and as such, the State Examinations Commission cannot be involved in the process. This has resulted in the need for the design of a special unit within my Department of Education to undertake this work. This is how it will work in practice. Teachers will be asked to provide a professional judgment of each student's attainment, which will be subjected to a rigorous in-school process to ensure fairness. The school principal will approve the estimated scores being provided and the rankings of each student in each subject in the school. The special unit within my department will process the data provided by each school and operate national standardisation, again to ensure fairness amongst all students. Grades will be finalised for each student and a formal state certificate will be issued. Importantly, students can appeal the grades. This means checking the school entered data, ensuring it was correctly transferred to the department, reviewing that it was correctly received and processed by the department, and having independent appeal scrutineers verify the department's processes. The option to sit an examination will be available to any candidate unhappy with the outcome of their appeal. This could be in the autumn or whenever it is deemed safe for them to be held. It would be unfair to expect 61,000 students to put their lives and their future education on hold while we wait for the virus to disappear. A fundamental principle of our education system is fairness. All students should have the same educational opportunity, and any gaps should be minimised as much as possible. Unfortunately, this crisis has widened the gap between different students across our country. Some students have been able to adjust better than others to the new normal, benefiting from online classes and studying from home. Others have suffered from stress and anxiety, with some grieving the loss of a family member or friend and more anxious about someone close to them contracting the virus. Some students have struggled to access online materials and resources. Home circumstances have made peaceful study difficult for others. My preference was for the exams to proceed, and I want to thank the members of the advisory group who have worked with me in these difficult circumstances in trying to make that a reality. But proceeding with the exams this summer would be unfair to the students under these current circumstances. The class of 2020 will never forget the events of this year, doing their best to study in the middle of a global pandemic. I am disappointed that we have been unable to run things the same way as in previous years, but what matters is that we are removing uncertainty and providing a clear solution. I believe that education is about empowerment. Komisu. It gives us the skills to prepare for a world of lifelong learning and active citizenship. The Leaving Cert curriculum is designed to unlock the potential of our young people and open the way for a better future. In these difficult times, we should remember that this is still what matters the most. Thank you.
And that is the Minister for Education. Let's go to Dylan J. McLaughlin. Dylan, you were one of many students on Wednesday who contacted us and proposed, warned that the Leaving Cert be predictive, the grades be predictively measured, so to speak. But you also said there should be an option, which is exactly what the Minister has announced. An option, yeah. If you're not happy with your predictive grade, you can't sit an exam at a later date. What do you think of the cancellation of the Leaving Cert and this predictive grade scenario?
Yeah, Joe, look, I'm delighted with the outcome now, and I know many other students will be. I think it's the fairest bet. I think people who want to predict the grades can get their predicted grades, and the people that aren't happy with the predicted grades have the option to sit. So I think, yeah, there will be problems, but no matter what, there was going to be problems.
Okay, Isabel and Carlo. Isabel, what do you think of what you've just heard?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, no, to be honest now, I'm quite disappointed with the outcome. I was hoping that the exam could be able to go ahead in July, but over the past few days, it seemed that it's become almost inevitable that we'd be awarded the predicted grades anyway. I just hope that the study I've done over the past few weeks since I haven't been in school won't go to waste.
Well, it won't go to waste. Which brings me to my point. Why don't they simply, as they did with the oral exams, why don't they say that everyone in the Leaving Cert has passed? And anyone who wants to go to third level next September, regardless of the course they want to do, should be allowed to go to third level. The only reason we have the CAO, the only reason there's so much mental stress on the Leaving Cert over the last number of years is the supply and demand. The demand for third level creates it as a competition. But in the new world we're now in, the new world, which is technology, I don't think there's going to be any. There will be first year lectures next year, but they'd be primarily online. So why not simply allow everyone to get on the course they want to get on, and at the end of first year the end of first year, they do their exams, and if they're not suitable, they either will have known by then or they will be instructed so through exams. And by the way, next year, unfortunately, in the world we're living in now, no graduates, no Leaving Cert, very few Leaving Cert graduates, Leaving Cert students this year are going to get jobs. So why not just let anyone who wants to go to third level go? Why not change the way universities operate? Why not do 20% of, even if the pandemic is gone, why not do 20% of lectures at home, which means that increases the number of students a college can hold? Like some schools in the country, 100% of their students go to third level anyway. Why can't that apply? Why can't that apply, Dylan? Why do what they did in the Orwells? Everyone has passed with flying colours.
That's a fair point, Joe. Would the colleges want that?
Well, the only reason we have predictive grades now, which is a sensationally difficult thing to do, as you pointed out the other day, and a lot of other students, the only reason we have predictive grades is that people can apply to third level and be calibrated on the scores they get. If everyone was allowed to go to third level, obviously the fees would have to come down because the universities would have many more students. The fees would have to come down, but our universities would have to, and our technological institutes would have to adopt to that situation. And I cannot see why they're getting now into this another minefield, when the simple way out of it was to say, OK, everyone has got their Leaving Cert and we're calling on our universities, our third level sector and the new world we live in, to accept every student on every course. And that means, I know that people say, well, you couldn't have somebody who's no interest in medicine studying medicine. If people want to study medicine, let them study medicine for the first year. And then, by the way, no education ever goes to waste. Let them study medicine for the first year. What else are they going to be doing if they want to do medicine? Let them study medicine for the first year. And if they fail or don't want to do the first year exams or realise the course is too difficult, that's the end of it. That is the end of it. I just... Janice Bolden. Janice, good afternoon. You're happy with your teacher. You're happy with the clarification.
I am indeed. I'm teaching in the Gael Cloister there in Kildare, and to be honest, I'm absolutely, lifted this morning that there seems to be purposeful direction coming from where it matters, you know, and it can take some of the stress off the households, especially our students.
Yeah, okay.
And even off the teachers, because it's been a hard road for everybody.
Like, I know.
We all know that these are difficult times.
But why
you're
do
doing your best.
Yeah, but why do we... Okay, the Leaving Cert is gone, but there is the option, if you're not happy with your predictive grade as designated by the school on a number of... they're data rich, they say. But why... Yeah. The only reason we need predictive grade, the only reason you need to give every student grades is so they can compute the points. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
Okay, so
hang on. The CAO, they filled out their forms in January, so they've allotted a choice.
So why not give everyone their first choice?
I agree with you completely.
And forget about predictive grades.
Joe, I live on a farm, and my husband was the best vet going. Yeah. Only he didn't get the points. He's a teacher now. Yeah. But anyone needs a calf pulled, or anyone needs a hoof paired. Okay. So the practical he has. I do believe that there is a whole host of wonderful doctors, wonderful physiotherapists, teachers, nurses, right down to sports enthusiasts, nutrition. Let them
teachers,
ask
history. And people, the fail-safe is, there's exams regularly in third level and evaluations and projects. So no charlatan is going to get through to become a doctor or a vet or a history teacher.
What this has given the children is a brilliant window to practice their own discipline, which they will need in September to go to college. They will need that discipline of meeting the deadlines, putting in the assessment.
Yeah.
And they've done that now for 8 weeks. And I take my hat off to my 6 years. They've really put their shoulder to the wheel, as I'd say, every 6 year around the country. Every step forward and every positive bit of work was wonderful. Like, people have different scenarios and not every house is the same. We've heard about facilities, you know, where people open to internet, Wi-Fi. But every little bit of work that they've done, whether reported back to you or not, has been wonderful. These are extraordinary times and my hat goes off to the class of 2020. They have now done, which was practical. basically an 8-week tutorial in college guidance of mm-hmm. how they're going to act when they go on in September. And they have done it with abundant workload and, I think, discipline. It was an eye-opener for everybody, Joe, about the Leaving Cert, to be honest.
And, John, what percentage of your students would go on in the BC world before COVID? What percentage would go on to third level?
We would have everybody, Joe.
Well, then why can't that be the same for every school in Ireland?
Of course, I do think
Minister McHugh is going on about inequality. The way to get rid of inequality is to say anyone who wants to go to third level can, but you obviously know if you go to third level, you've got to do exams and valuations and assessments. So you'll be, if you're not able for that particular course, you'll know within a year. But that is not a wasted year. That is not a wasted year. Otherwise, the 12 months beginning October, the academic year, so to speak, is going to be an extraordinarily difficult 12 months for somebody who didn't get into third level, who wanted to go.
Exactly. And Joe, like every single year in Ireland, people will start out on a new journey at third level, whether it's a PLC, which leads them up the gateway to get into another college, whether it's straight into your bachelor or whatever, or a diploma. It doesn't. These things are the same every year. So you will have students who will take a step back in November, reassess the course. They might work for the rest of the year to get the fees up and say, well, hang on, that course wasn't right for me. But this isn't new. This has been happening for the last 30, 40 years. What is new is the pandemic, but the students and the evolving of their education is more valued.
I completely agree. Why doesn't this pandemic allow us to do what Donough O'Malley did in 1966, which was seen as revolutionary then? He said anyone who wants to go on to second level can go on. We wouldn't even countenance that debate now. Everyone goes on to second level, obviously there'd be a few exceptions. So why can't we say the same about third level? Anyone who wants to go on to third level goes on.
I came from a family that struggled. My dad had broke his back. I'm a qualified teacher of nearly 25 years now. And our family was dealt a hard blow in the 80s, the time of a really difficult recession. And the window of education wasn't shut to me. And that was because of Donough O'Malley. That was left open.
Same here. So education. I want to stay with us, Janice. Vivian Conway is also a teacher. What's your position?
How are you, Joe? How are you? I'm a teacher down at Luton Community College.
Just
listened to you there over the couple of days on the lunch break there, in between doing the work. Mm-hmm. They're all working very hard down there in Luton. But what I was just saying, I just agree with you what you have to say there with the colleges. You know, it's been very wishy-washy, the decision. So I know it's a kind of bit like Saipan. We're all kind of divided in whether we wanted the predictive grades or the exam, you know. But I think the outcome now is kind of undecisive. There's lots of questions. Like, you know, if a management body has to put together a criteria of, you know, everybody getting a fair bite of the apple in terms of what grade they're going to get, is that going to be, is everybody going to agree to that on a national level, you know? And then it's just, I'm not really hearing much of the college's voices here. Like what you say there, you know, give everybody the pass and let them get the chance to get in to do their course.
If they want to.
You know, absolutely.
And they discover soon enough whether they want it or whether they're able for it.
And are suited for it. You know, and a lot of our students would maybe have made, not a great decision after their Leaving Cert, you know, based on their points. So, you know, I suppose let them in. And that's what I'd say, you know. I feel that there's an awful lot of pressure on kids for points and,
The CAO forms are there, isn't that correct?
Yeah,
they're already filled in. Why not give everyone their first choice?
And I agree with you because the numbers entering into third level are actually largely decreased due to international students now not being able to take up places.
That could
change later on. But that will change.
A lot of the universities were marketing themselves really strongly to international students because of the amount of money they were getting. And I know they said they're under pressure. The international students ain't coming for 2021, so there's more space in our universities.
Yeah, exactly. So why not give our children, you know, give it to the home, start at home, start local, like everything else. Yeah. Support your own and get them off the ground, you know, and take this awful chapter off them from March to now, which has been like a lead weight on some students. Let them breathe, give them their chance, and let them prove us right. Let them prove us right.
Rose McKenzie. Rose, good afternoon. You're the mother of a Leaving Cert student.
Yes, Joe, I am, and I'm ringing from Killarney.
Okay, go ahead.
He wanted the city's Leaving Cert. Yeah. That's all he wanted to do. He's a little bit confused now today. But I suppose what we're confused about more is why the minister feels he has to come out and make a statement that he's not talking to the principal of our St. Brendan's in Killarney, who's been very good to us, and all the other teachers, and informing his staff, and let the principal then inform his students, because he knows them best, and he knows how to explain it to them. They made an announcement at Easter they were postponing. Then they made an announcement it might be cancelled. And now they're making another announcement. Why isn't he talking to his staff, his principals, and letting his principals do their job with their students?
By the way, Rose, what does your son want to do with his Leaving Cert?
To do medicine.
Okay, so he's doing the Leaving Cert to get the points do medicine.
Yes,
and the reason why points are so high in medicine is supply and demand. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many. Why not? Why not say his first choice is medicine? He can do it.
But sure, there's another 3,000 or 4,000 in the country that wants to do it.
Brilliant.
And all the other students
Brilliant.
That are going to come in from abroad.
Well, there'll be no one coming from abroad at this rate. Why not let them? Why not let them? And you'll know within a year whether they're suitable for medicine or not. If your son wants
to... the college is going to take in 4,000 med students.
Well, there's enough of them out there. There's seven different colleges,
there's
I think.
There's five colleges that do medicine and they won't take in 4,000 students.
Well, they're going to have to. And they're going to have to get... It has to change the face of education once and for all. If people want to go on to third level, why can't they go on to third level? If your son wants to do medicine and he's interested, if he's not able to do it, you know after a year.
Well, yes, fine, if that's the way
they 7 years.
It. But why didn't the minister talk to his principals?
I don't know.
They're talking about mental health with students. Who knows a student better than his principal and teacher? He didn't even communicate with his staff.
Yeah, but
I'm running a business. I have to communicate with my staff.
But the way...
I don't go out and tell everybody.
Students are now... Okay, the Leaving Cert is gone. Okay, this year.
But
students are now worried about what grades they're going to get from the school. And the reason they're going to be worried is, will the grades be high enough for the points to get into the limited courses? And that's why I'm saying, if you want to eliminate, and the minister made reference to the fact that not only the stress of the Leaving Cert, but the stress of a Leaving Cert in a pandemic, which is, even you can hear in the tone, is really, really devastating. Why not simply say, okay, we're going to move heaven and earth. So it's not all that big a thing in the world we live in. We're going to move heaven and earth to facilitate everyone's first choice.
Joe, I hope they do that. As teachers, okay? You know, I would never go into a consultant oncologist and second guess
exactly.
his prognosis
exactly.
on a patient's outcome, whether it was going to be poor. I would take his professionally trained advice go with it. We're professional teachers. We do this the whole time. For the past 25 years, I've been marking, guiding, recorrecting,
which is brilliant. That's why if you ask me, I would be totally happy with any Leaving Cert student that's got to now, to today, any Leaving Cert student, all and every one of them gets their first choice because they come through a fantastic second level system. But
how does the teacher feel about the minister not corresponding with to the student?
You liaison with your principal, and the principal is on the board of management. The management then steps up to a higher level, which is a JMB, which is an overall board of management. We can't have schools shooting off in individual directions. We have to wait for the guidance to come as a whole unit.
The simple way out of this is to give everyone their first choice. That is the simplest way out of this.
Will you have a chat with the minister after the show and ask him?
No, it's the power of the people that will change. Well, the education unions at second and third level, but everyone has to pull out the stops. And I don't want to see young people who want to do medicine miss out by 10, 20, 30 points because of predictive grades, given the stress they're already under. Let them do medicine and we'll know within a year, because they're ongoing. It's a 7-year course anyway, plus it's internships. You'll find out quick enough whether you're able or not. Okay. Back after
thank
this break.
You,
thanks, Vivian Conway, Janice Boland. Thank you and all the teachers for their work. Rose McKenzie, thanks to all the parents. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
See, people saying, well, Joe's idea, say everyone wants to do medicine in Trinity. There's a system. You do medicine nearest the location of where you're living. This is much easier, as we've discovered in other areas, to sort out than everyone who has applied for the CAO gets their first choice. Meryl Bergen. Meryl, good afternoon. Are you there, Meryl?
Yes, your can
point,
you hear me?
Yeah, your point, please.
Well, I have a grandson who's studied constantly and is very anxious to do his exams.
Okay.
He wants to do engineering in college, and that's what he wants to do, and predictive grades just don't interest him. And
okay, well, why don't we...
I'm not against predictive grades for everybody, but I don't see why they can't let the kids who are the students who want to do their exams now soon, so they can get their marks and then have their choice of college.
Even under the Plan C, as the minister called it, which is predictive grades, and if you're not happy with them, you appeal. If you're not happy with the appeal, you can actually sit an exam.
That's next year, maybe.
Exactly. Where does he want to study engineering?
Either in Limerick or, I think, Trinity.
And where is he living, do you mind me asking?
He's living in Galway. He's living with me at the moment for safety, but he's...
If they decided that everyone's CAO choice should be honoured, but we might be able to give you the actual location of your... In other words, we might be able to give you Trinity or Limerick, we might give you Galway.
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, it's a new word.
He said that.
Okay, he accept Galway. Okay, good man. It's a great third level education. As someone who benefited from it enormously, it's just such a gift. And if a lot of schools in the country can get 100% of their students into third level, or everyone who wants to go to third level in, why can't that sit? And we've already through the CAO forms, we already know who wants to go to third level, so let them go and forget about this mental pressure now of predictive grades and all the arguments and court cases and appeals and angst that's going to cause. And the only reason it's going to cause angst and mental anguish is because of supply and demand. And we are not too far off 100% participation in third level. It was a lot different in my time. Okay, Meryl, he's a good lad, and I hope it's a fantastic profession and a fantastic contribution to the world to become an engineer.
He's following his dad's and his granddad's footsteps. I think that would be the fairest. Let them sit the exams, but in time, so they can get their choice of college.
Okay.
I'd be happy with that.
Okay, thanks indeed, Mayor. I just want to go back. We were so rudely interrupted, Megan, about your wedding insurance. How much do you stand to lose if weddinginsurance.ie stick to the way, and our brokers stick to the way they're reading this policy? And even though it does say in the policy about infectious diseases, this policy states you are covered if the venue closes for your wedding due to a contagious infection or is closed by a relevant authority. However, you are not covered if the government orders a closure. So the way they're interpreting that is that the venue for your wedding would have had to close with a diagnosed case of COVID. Isn't that correct? So, Megan, how much do you stand to lose?
Well, initially we were due to lose all our deposits, and we had paid full amounts on quite a lot of these. So it was around 17,000. But unlike Kira, whose wedding was today, we've been able to get a date in 2021, but we've also had to pay extra for that privilege. So I'm just at a loss as to what the point of wedding insurance is at this point. I don't understand what it does actually cover anything.
Okay, and there's more people there, Megan, and they've lost a lot of money, unfortunately. But we're still awaiting a comprehensive response from the insurance company. So we'll keep in touch. Megan, kind regards and a happy and a healthy life. And I'm, in the one hand, nobody wants to lose money. On the other hand, you were found the love of your life, both of you. So that's a gift and a privilege. Thanks indeed, Megan. Back with more after this. 5151, wash hands.